Hey, welcome everyone to the big show on this Monday. I'm Clayton Morris.
You pour yourself a drink just a few seconds ago.
Pour myself a little cocktail.
Okay, I'm
water.
Natalie Morris. I'll take it from here.
It's hot as balls. That's why
I'm just going to get
some water.
A little bit of water.
Hope everyone's doing good on this Monday. Welcome everyone to the big show. And let us know where you're joining us from around the world. Let us know. I always like to see the far off locations. What's the furthest location from where we are?
From us. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Because remote is relative term, you know.
Yeah.
And that little bit of water quip that I just did was from 16 Candles. If you guessed that, just going to get a little bit of water. the Joan Cusack scene where she's wearing a tutu shirt.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So that's your 80s reference of the day. Welcome to the show where we talk about the things that the mainstream media largely ignores or decides to cover like a commercial. When we get to the story later about a drug that the FDA has approved, you will be shocked, I tell you, to learn just how critical the mainstream media isn't.
We're also going to talk about what the CIA has planned for Zelensky. It seems that he's run out of his usefulness. So what does the CIA, what are the intelligence community plan to do with him now? The answer I think may surprise you. We'll get to that. Plus, we're also going to have a frontline report tonight on Russia using these new kamikaze drones in devastating attacks on the front lines, one of the hottest spots in the war right now. We'll bring that all of that to you. Plus, a update on the Syria chemical weapons OPCW investigation. All of that and more as Redacted starts right now. Bohan from Serbia. We've got a lot of folks from Serbia watching tonight. Good to see all of you. Henny Lowe is from South Africa. Good to see you watching us tonight. Steel Hayes in Vancouver Island. Beautiful Vancouver. What else do we got here? More South Africa. We got a lot of South Africans in the house tonight. Good to see all of you.
Namibia. That's right. Molly, thank you for joining us. Welcome to your Monday. Hope your week got off to a good start. I think I have to sneeze.
Okay. Well, you know allergies. Who's outside, like literally in a field right now? I think he's like, he looks like he's going to like lead us on an expedition. Like he's a ranger.
I'm in my garden.
That's
look at beautiful. That. That is a beautiful backdrop. Yeah. Beautiful backdrop.
Thank you.
Yeah. You can hear our kids in the background here playing. You can hear, if you hear baseball, if you hear.
You hear a plink of an aluminum bat.
Yeah.
That's our kids.
Our kids are outside playing baseball right now. So it is hot. Is it hot where you guys are? You're up in Alaska,
yeah.
Right?
I'm in Washington State. Yeah. I'm in Washington State, just north of Oregon, and it is 78 degrees right now at 1 o'clock. So it's been hitting high 80s. So it's been pretty warm, but there's not much humidity here, so that makes it so it's not too bad.
Yeah, everyone's fleeing right now, like Europe, people in Greece and Italy. It's just so stinking hot, so everyone's trying to beat the heat right now. Anyway, we have a daily newsletter that all of you should subscribe to. It's totally free, and it is the best newsletter in the world. I'm going to say that unequivocally. In fact, I just saw someone in the chat saying, thank you so much for my daily newsletter. I love it. Well, thank you, because it's fantastic. So all you need to do to get it is just go to redacted.inc, not .com, and you just put in your email address, and then you will receive a welcome email. Now, it may wind up in your spam folder, or Gmail labels us dangerous. So if you're on Gmail, Google labels our newsletter dangerous because we tell the truth. So you might find it in one of those folders, then just drag it to your inbox and confirm that you want to receive the newsletter tomorrow morning. And then tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning, you will receive the newsletter first thing in your inbox about 7 in the morning. That's when Natalie and I get it published usually. We both write it and we spend a lot of time working on it, covering like about 4 or 5 of the big stories. We kind of catch you up on things you might have missed overnight. It's a great way to start your day and it's totally free. Plus, it's a great way for us to stay connected because these internet censorship platforms love to block and ban us all, you know. Okay, one more time. It's redacted.inc. Well, what will the West do with their puppet in Ukraine? What will the West do with Volodymyr Zelensky now that the war is over for Ukraine. Ukraine has turned into a graveyard, and reports over the past 24 hours over this weekend of Ukrainian soldiers in trenches, in bunkers, sitting next to the decomposing bodies of their comrades who've fallen days, weeks ago, because they have no one to come in and remove the bodies. That's how bad things have gotten for this graveyard in Ukraine. Our next guest says that Zelensky better get ready to be finished off by the CIA, the intelligence community. The CIA has a long track record, a very good track record, of getting rid of leaders that have run out their value. And the CIA has managed to put an end to those people. Someone who knows exactly how the CIA operates is Larry Johnson, who used to work for the CIA, has an intimate knowledge of how this unfolds. Larry, good to see you. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Clayton. Good to be with you.
So your position over the past few days has been, Zelensky better watch out. The CIA, the intelligence community, will do in him the way that they've done in other leaders, no?
Right. When you look at the history of the United States in dealing with these kinds of foreign conflicts, we have a very consistent pattern. You know, we're like the abusive spouse who's been married multiple times who keep beating up our mate. So go back to Diem in Vietnam. He wound up dead. Then you get Manuel Noriega. He was kidnapped, you know, taken prisoner. We invaded his country, brought him to the United States. Saddam Hussein, remember the photographs? He's arm in arm with Donald Rumsfeld. You know, hey, we're great friends.
Right.
So, you know, the West has been praising Zelensky as the new Winston Churchill, which just, you know, goes to underscore the level of delusion that has possessed the West. But now you're getting in all quarters, in Washington and London, Germany, and throughout the rest of NATO, these recriminations being expressed about Ukraine's failure to press the counteroffensive, failure to listen to the advice of the West, that they're always begging for more. So this, you know, this is starting to become a more common thing. So I think the next natural step, whether the CIA does it or the CIA encourages somebody to do it, I don't think Zelensky's long for the world. He's not the kind of guy that I think is going to be allowed to go off into exile where he'll be sunning himself down in Miami Beach.
So he will become, in many ways, I guess they'll sort of treat him as a martyr, or they'll take him out because he's inconvenient now, and now we want to use some other sort of puppet in Ukraine. Do you think that they've reached this sort of tipping point in Washington where those folks sitting around the CIA have said he's run out his usefulness now? Now is the time that we step in and we mobilize Plan B.
I don't think we're there quite yet because, you know, you've had Victoria Nuland elevated to the number two position in State Department as the Deputy Secretary of State. You've seen no sign from Blinken or Jake Sullivan that they're willing to start pulling the plug. But within the CIA, there are elements that have been coming out talking to people like Cy Hirsch, indicating that this thing is going astray and we're not going to succeed and something needs to be done. So the once unified position that was common in Washington is now starting to unravel. And when that unraveling process starts, it has a tendency to accelerate, coupled with the fact of the complete lack of progress by Ukraine on the ground militarily and their increasingly desperate attacks with drones that they're hitting targets that have zero military significance.
Do you think that NATO is about to throw Ukraine under the bus? Or, I mean, we already know that they've thrown Ukraine under the bus, right? They don't give a shit about Ukraine. Right. Ukraine has become a graveyard for NATO's passions and expansion. But do you think that this sort of phony friendship is now going to dissolve and NATO will fully throw Ukraine under the bus?
Well, that's the interesting thing. Ukraine, even though it was not a de jure member of NATO, it has been a de facto member of NATO since 2014. And in that capacity, Ukraine represented the second largest military force in NATO. So the experiment, let's call it the experiment of the last 18 months, they knew that they were provoking Russia into retaliating militarily. Russia did. The West calculated that Russia would fail. Russia has not. And in the process, the second largest army in NATO is being eviscerated, NATO doesn't have an answer. What can NATO do? In fact, what they've watched is all of these incredible technological weapons systems that were going to be game changers are being destroyed and are not making any difference whatsoever on the ground. So I think candidly, NATO doesn't know what to do, because what is it going to do? What, the United Kingdom's going to mobilize its army of 75,000 guys? I mean, right. We've reached the point, it's ridiculous. All NATO can do is talk tough, posture, and do nothing.
I want to get your sense of exactly how this attack on Zelensky would unfold, how the CIA will make this happen, the intelligence communities, the CIA, the MI6 will take out Zelensky. And I've heard reports that this would happen in a way where they would make it look like Russia did it. That's sort of the plan on the table right now, is that he will be taken out. They will make it look like Russia did it. He will be martyred in some sort of way as a convenient cover story. What's your sense of how this will unfold?
Well, the most likely one is an explosion in his headquarters that can then be attributed to a Russian missile that Russia did kill him. But I think the key actors in this are going to be the military, Zaluzhny, the head of the Ukrainian military, because they're under enormous political pressure to deploy these troops, and Zaluzhny, for all of his faults, is still a military man, and I think it has to absolutely horrify him with the casualties that they're seeing. And you mentioned that report earlier, the Ukrainian troops sharing bunkers with corpses. I don't know if you've seen the image, but the image is just horrific. Awful. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, can you imagine sitting there next to one of your fallen comrades from 2 weeks ago, whose body has been decomposing next to you while you're waiting to see whether or not you're going to survive?
Yeah, that type of death has a very tangible presence as far as, it affects all of your senses. And it's just, and yet here these guys are. So, it shows you the depths to which they've fallen. And Ukraine now, they don't have any viable path forward. They can throw as many men as they want at these defensive lines the Russians have erected, but they have no way of breaking through because they lack the essentials of air power, mobile artillery, etc.
I want to play now a clip for our audience and get your take on this, Larry. This is a remarkable clip from the man who's in charge of this entire theater. For NATO and for the United States, and basically admitting that Russia hasn't been hindered at all in this operation. Under sea capabilities, air capabilities, they haven't been degraded at all. So all of what we've been hearing from the West has been an utter lie. Watch it right from the horse's mouth.
First of all, sir, if I could, I'd like to underline your comment about the specificity of the degradation of the Russian forces. Much of the Russian military has not been affected negatively by this conflict. One of those forces is their undersea forces. It's hard to talk in public, as you well know, sir, about undersea warfare and our efforts in that regard. But I can say that the Russians are more active than we've seen them in years, and their patrols into the Atlantic and throughout the Atlantic are at a high level. Most of the time, at a higher level than we've seen in years. And this is, as you pointed out, despite all of the efforts that they're undertaking.
So, Larry, he once again doubled down on this. This is, of course, testimony at the House Oversight Committee on specifically what's going on with Russian forces. And we've been hearing from the West. But you hear, NATO is absolutely losing this, and Russia has not been degraded at all.
Right. Well, and notice the narrative, the meme has shifted from Ukraine's defeating Russia to Ukraine is degrading Russia to, Ukraine's not even degrading Russia. And what they're talking about in there is Russia's robust submarine force. Only two countries in the world with capable nuclear submarines are Russia and the United States. And Russia has actually probably arisen to a level that surpasses the U.S. capability, because they've deployed a drone submarine capable of launching nuclear missiles on the United States. And the United States has no way to prevent that or to counter that threat. And within this, as we've seen over the last 18 months, you know, it probably Russia did underestimate or miscalculate the will of the West to try to throw everything in to support Ukraine, and had not ramped up its military production. But that has changed. It is now operating on all cylinders. It's producing everything from tanks to hypersonic missiles to conventional missiles to artillery shells to helmets and uniforms, everything that the Army needs. It has increased its manpower beyond its reserves. It's brought in new active duty. It's got the luxury of being able to train people. Everything that I've just said, Ukraine does not have. And NATO cannot supply. NATO can't make up the gap. So that's what the General Cavoli is, at least he has the common sense to acknowledge that reality, because everybody else has been pretending that the Russians are inept and incapable.
I want to talk, before I get you out of here, about Africa. And of course, the protests and, I mean, Africa on the rise, the kicking out of the imperial West throughout Africa. And over the weekend, the United States started launching warplanes to the Niger border with weapons and armor. And I've read reports that a lot of the weapons could be coming from Ukraine, that there could be a redistribution of weapons and armament coming from Ukraine, or at least some of the weapons that are meant for Ukraine are winding up in the black market being used there, which we've been reporting on here for a while. What's your sense of where the flow of this black market military equipment is coming from, and how and where it's going to wind up through Africa?
If I could go to a London bookie and they could allow you to place a bet, I think we're going to see some of these shoulder-fired surface-to-air missiles that were sent to Ukraine to attack Russians are going to wind up being used against U.S. and French military forces by the armies of Burkina Faso, Niger, and Mali.
Wow.
They have probably gone to the black market because they've not been able to get these kinds of weapon systems from their, you know, colonial masters, as we shall call them. So, you know, we're looking at a real split. And the Wagner Group is reportedly in at least Mali and was offering to provide assistance to Niger. So what we're looking at is the possible start of a new proxy war between Russia and the West.
Great news. Great news. Yeah. Our proxy wars keep metastasizing like cancers all over the world. Larry Johnson, great to see you. I'll link up your latest report in our description below. As always, great to see you. Thank you so much for your insights.
Thanks, Clayton.
Thanks so much, Larry. Appreciate it. So the CIA with an active plan to take out Zelensky. What do you guys think about this in the comments, in the YouTube comments here in Rumble? I mean, what are they going to do with them? I mean, we've heard the same thing from Colonel Douglas McGregor. We've heard Scott Ritter saying this on the show. I've seen other reports that also confirm this. And now other reports coming out of Washington that Zelensky has run his usefulness.
Yeah, it's awful. It's like a fiction book where, you know, you were only ever going to be able to do that so much. There's only so many Vogue covers. There's only so many like performances of gravelly tough talk that you can do until the truth about the war comes out. And it is no longer a fictional, HBO series.
Yeah, it's really, really sad. We've got more news to get to.
Like if you,
go ahead, David.
Well, I was just going to say really quick, like Zelensky has an opportunity. Like if he would come out ahead of it, because he has to know this is coming. If he came out ahead of it, he's so beloved in the United States by so many people that he could get ahead of this and change the narrative and tell the truth about what we have been doing for him or to them.
Yeah, I wouldn't imagine that. Like he says, I'm going to hold a press conference and I have papers. I have the receipts.
Yeah.
And I want to explain.
Mm-hmm. I recorded Boris Johnson telling me to, mm-hmm. Concede to peace talks.
But the problem is, of course, is that he's corrupt and all of his guys are corrupt. So they've all taken our money. They've all funneled it to these rich Ukrainians who then have gotten yachts and they've all gone off to Mallorca and these other places that we've covered here on the show. All of our weapons have flown into the country and then sold on the black market. So he can only get up there and say so much because there's going to be a lot that he's just as culpable.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Let us know your thoughts on that. We've got more news to get to here on your Monday. Hope everyone is doing well. Let us know where you're joining us from. Victor Charlie says, beloved. Who's beloved? I think, well, Natalie's saying he's beloved in the West. Like,
you guys, one more time, let's go over the term media darling.
Yeah.
So media darling, yes, does not mean that we all collectively agree that person is great. We mean the media is giving them basically free commercials in order to promote them. So once again, let's go through, because every time I say this, people are like, you love Jacinda Ardern? I'm like, no, she's a media darling.
The media loves her.
The media loves her and gives her a free pass for whatever the heck. So this is the game we like to play every now and again.
Did Natalie just say she likes AOC?
Right. Media darling, no, right? Okay, let's go through them. Nicola Sturgeon, Justin Trudeau, Mark Rutte, I want to say, is a media darling. Any more you guys have? People who are like, you know, you should be critical to that person, but they're not.
Oh, yeah, they don't ask
Ursula
tough questions.
Ursula von der Leyen.
Dr. Fauci.
Dr. Fauci. Yes, yes, he could be on a poster, media yes, darling. Okay.
They should make action figures of Fauci.
Zelensky.
Oh, wait, they did.
Media darling.
Yeah.
Absolutely right.
Yeah.
I can think of, yeah, so many. Most of these, you know, Western dictatorial leaders who, you know, smile for Vogue while slowly taking away liberties and rights.
Exactly.
So, okay.
Well, and I use the word beloved because I just assume, like, our viewers know when I say beloved, I mean by the propagandists, not by us.
Right.
Because
right,
I think you guys kind of know where we stand.
Yeah. Right. But I like this game because most of the time the chat comes up with really great fun.
Here's a good super chat from RC Pip. Thank you for your $5 super chat. RC Pip says, the CIA is like the mob in Goodfellas. As soon as it stops being useful or compromise the mob, you get whacked. Exactly. Yeah, just look at Saddam Hussein being pulled out of a spider hole and then hung, you know? I mean, just look at Muammar Gaddafi. You know what happened there, thanks to Hillary Clinton. I mean, yeah, when you run out your usefulness, we tend to whack you. That's exactly what happens. And the CIA has a long track record of this. I'm glad that we're actually now fully able to talk about, after RFK was able to confirm and talk about this, after it's been confirmed that the CIA was actively involved in the
assassination. Well, I'm not going to pretend I'm super comfortable with it.
I'm glad that we can talk about it, though, that we can talk about the JFK, the assassination, and the CIA's involvement in the assassination of a U.S. president. Like, these are, I mean, how do they get away with this stuff? And they go around the world killing world leaders all the time. I mean, this is what the CIA does.
I mean, the CIA literally gave Saddam Hussein lists. Like, here's your list of people to go after and torture.
Well,
and
yeah,
he worked along with them.
And then, this is exactly why we only get redacted documents for like 60 years, because then they're like, you know what? When we finally release the truth, people are just going to be like, yeah, okay, I knew that was wrong. And people don't, like, they're not pushing as hard because it's so far away. It's like most people don't even know what happened or care anymore. So that's like, that's planned, you know, that they do it that way so that we don't do what we can do now with social media and stuff they couldn't do back then.
Yeah.
Your light has really shifted, David. Looks like a storm's brewing.
I know, so people are like, where is David? Oh, he's in his backyard because his studio, his scooty is, here's the trick with David. He moves his studio like every week. He's like me as a child, where every week I was like, you know what? I want to move my bed to this side of the room. And I would reposition my bookshelf and my comic yes, books and all my stuff. David is like that with his studio. Every week he's like pulling out cables and moving it around. And then he screws it up so much that now it's gotten so bad that he has to leave the house and go into the backyard because his studio won't work.
He's got a vision. I'm sure his vision's amazing.
I have a vision.
Okay. All right.
I'm here for it.
This is why I love you, because we're very similar in that way. I'm like,
he's like our
this.
Matt Lauer, except I don't think yes, he's touching any ladies because I'm the only lady on this show. So he's not sexually abusing anybody who works for us. So
could that's you think good, of a better person? Right. He's like our Matt Lauer.
Except not a pervert. Whereas, like, where in the world?
Oh, where
is,
in the world?
Remember,
okay,
yeah, where yeah, in the world is Matt Lauer?
I just thought, yeah, anyway. All right. We've got more news to get to here on this Monday. It's been a long weekend, and we wanted to be able to talk to you. So we're glad we're here and be able to have some fun with you guys on this Monday, despite the shitty news. Yeah, we're going to talk about, today is a bombshell day, actually, because we now have the newly released Berlin Group 21 report on Syria and the chemical gas cover-up, the now debunked chemical gas attack in Syria. And we have the man, Dr. Piers Robinson, who's going to be joining us here on the show with this new report just released today. And Brazil got their hands on this report, and Brazil now says, hey, wait a second, we need to look into this. And this could literally open up the door for a full-scale investigation into the lies that the Obama administration has told about what happened in Syria. So we'll get to that and so much more. But first...
First, we want to tell you about our friends over at Private Internet Access, because if you're searching around for things to watch and you've exhausted all the things you find interesting on your American television or wherever you are, you can use a private internet access, a VPN, and you can stream into other places where you might find other more interesting content. Let's say things in another country, things in another language, things with subtitles that maybe you can watch dubbed. The dubbing technology is so good these days. Have you ever watched, we watched Lupin, the French sort of, what would you call it? Like a mystery, David, did you watch that? Lupin? Anyway.
No, I have not. I've never even heard of it.
Oh, it's so good. It's so, so good. And we actually watched it with subtitles, but you can watch it dubbed and it's just as good. You can't really tell. The dubbing technology is amazing these days. So that's something you could watch in a different country. You could watch my favorite little Korean show called The Extraordinary Attorney Woo. That is a feel-good show. No woke agenda. It is just... like lovely and fun to watch. So try that. Anything you want, really, because if you get private internet access, you can watch whatever you want in whatever country you want. And over 30 million people have signed up for them. So again, it's private internet access is a leading VPN provider that works with all major streaming services, so you can access more content than ever before in the world. All you need to do is connect to a server and you're good to go. And it's all really easy since Private Internet Access offers fast service in over 80 countries in every US state. Plus, this VPN is super friendly and user friendly. It's just something that you can get support on if you need to. It's available on all devices, smart TVs, and one subscription can be used to protect an unlimited amount of devices all at the same time. So if you are a viewer of Redacted, you can now enjoy the benefits of private internet access, because now is the time to subscribe. They're offering this 83% discount to our audience. Go to piavpn.com/redacted. One more time, that's piavpn.com/redacted for 83% off. So that's just $2.03 a month, and you'll also get 4 extra months completely free. But you have to use our landing page. It's piavpn.com/redacted for a truly private digital life. One last time, that's piavpn.com/redacted.
Well, now to a story that the mainstream media continues to lie about. That's Syria and the now debunked chemical weapons attack in the city of Douma in April of 2018. A BS chemical weapons attack that the United States continues to use as propaganda from the White House podium to destroy Syria, to overthrow the Assad government. And today is a landmark day. The Berlin Group 21 has released their new 2-year-long review of the OPCW's investigation. And joining me now is Dr. Piers Robinson, co-director for the Organization for Propaganda Studies. He's been highlighting the problems with the OPCW's investigation for years and helping to debunk this alleged chemical weapons attack, and worked closely with the Berlin Group 21. Dr. Robinson, great to have you back on the show. Is it wrong for me to say today is a big day, a sort of a summation of 2 years of research?
Well, I think it's a very important day in the sense that the Berlin Group 21 review pulls together in a very comprehensive manner all of the material which has emerged over the last, since 2019, emerged in the context of investigators involved with the Duma investigation, blowing the whistle effectively, which has emerged through many, many documents which have come into the public domain, and which has been reported on at various points by, for example, Peter Hitchens in the UK and Aaron Matei, of course, from the Grey Zone. And this report pulls all of this together in a very comprehensive way, and also sets it in the context of the recent IIT report from the OPCW, the investigations team, which produced their attribution of a responsibility judgment regarding the Douma attack, and of course blamed the Syrian government. And we were able, with the Berlin 21 review, to essentially look at that report very carefully. And it did, and as I think I talked about in our previous interview, it essentially embedded the manipulations which you can see in the original Duma report. So we now have a very high level of deception, I would argue, going on in terms of what the OPCW is putting out into the public domain over Duma. And our review pulls this together and demonstrates where the manipulations occurred, essentially summarizes, of course, it's a very long report, but it pulls together and summarizes the key issues which are now outstanding regarding the specific Duma investigation, and also puts it, I think, in the wider context of what's been going on since 2013, 2012 in Syria with the entire chemical weapons issue.
Well, let's talk about some of the things that you've uncovered and that are presented in this report, some of the key pieces of deception. Can you give us some of the key pieces of deception here that have been put forward by the OPCW and then parroted at the White House? You know, and I think even recently heard Corinne Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary, once again regurgitating some of these lies in front of the White House press corps. Can you talk about some of this deception?
Well, how I would put this is to run through what I think are four of the clearest and easiest to understand what I would describe as deceptions which have occurred, and which to all intents and purposes remain buried from the official narrative point of view. And the first one is a kind of procedural issue. This is how it's referred to in the Berlin Review. But it's the fact that the original interim report, which was drafted by a Brendan Whelan, that report was drafted, finalized, and was going to go to publication from the OPCW. And at the last minute, it was substituted with another report without the knowledge of the inspectors, a report which essentially was spun and suggested there was evidence the attack had occurred. And this is, when you stop and think about it for a second, this is a pretty blatant act of deception. You have a team working on a report, it's agreed, and it's going to go to publication, and it gets switched at the last minute. And it only comes to light because the person responsible for drafting the report, Brendan Whelan, picks up that this has occurred and then issues the initial protest, the grave concern email, which went to the chief of cabinet in the OPCW, saying that this is totally unacceptable. And this has been, this deception has never been addressed by the OPCW nor any of its supporters, the fact that this report was switched in that way. So that's a very major issue, and that really goes back to the very start of this in terms of the emergence of controversy within the OPCW. I think the second broad sort of procedural issue is the fact that, as we document in the Berlin Review, you know, no one disputes the fact that two very senior OPCW inspectors raised fundamental issues and blew the whistle to all intents and purposes over what had happened with the Duma investigation. And all that has happened over the years is that they have been sidelined, smeared. Anyone supporting them has been subjected to smears and attack, discounted as disinformation, etc. And so when you have a situation where two very experienced, very senior people within an organization raise these concerns, it's to any outsider, it's obvious that the organization should take seriously what they have said and essentially respond to the calls for, right, we need to get everybody on the team sat down and go through this information and the evidence again. And it's never happened. The story, for those of your viewers who are familiar with it, will know that they've simply been shut down and smeared for years now. So that's a pretty major issue and deception, I think, in this case.
I want to let you continue on the pieces or the omissions from this report, the OPCW report, the deceptions here. But I think it's an important point. This is something that Aaron Maté speaks about regularly, which is the initial OPCW investigation did a great job, actually, did it not? And then it was the subsequent whitewashing of it and the diminishment of it that became the problem. The initial people that actually worked on it, some of the initial investigators, did a great job, did they not?
Yeah, I think how you describe it and how Aaron describes it is accurate. The team who put together and the drafting of the original interim report was objective and accurate.
And what did it find?
Went through. what it found was that essentially there are a series of significant inconsistencies, okay, in the evidence. There were question marks, which we'll come to in a minute. And the report accurately relayed these inconsistencies. And then at the end of the report said, look, there are two possibilities here. One is the attack as alleged, or the possibility that something else has occurred here. So saying that there are two possible, which we do not know the answer to yet, and we need to do more research in order to establish that. And that was a pretty accurate reflection of the facts as they had them. How the report was doctored and spun was to suggest essentially the attack had occurred, and no, all of the issues and inconsistencies in the evidence were effectively, very dramatically whitewashed out of the redacted interim report. So yes, the team had done a good job, but their intervention at a critical stage, and as it were, manipulated and spun in order to reach the conclusion that obviously the French, British and American governments were eager to see out in the public domain, especially given the fact that they had attacked Syria 1 week after the events in Douma in retaliation. So a lot of incentive on their part for to ensure that the OPCW came out with the right result and so on.
Right.
But they had done a good job, yes, and it was.
Yeah. Using this as cover to carry out attacks and try to destabilize this government. It's, you know, it is worth noting, we've had Kavork Almasian on the show a number of times, a friend of the show, great journalist from Syria, who points out that in 2011, Syria was listed as one of the safest countries in the entire world. One in the entire world. It was until Western meddling involved itself in destabilizing this country. So just so people have a broader understanding of how safe and beautiful this country is and was, it's just incredibly disheartening to see what the West has done here. And it's incumbent upon us to really get this story out. I'll get you out of here on this, Doctor, which is, can you continue just explaining some of the deceit or the convenient omissions that the Berlin 21 group found as it relates to this OPCW report?
Well, two of the obvious or easy to understand issues which are persisting, even with the latest IIT report. One is that the question mark over the cylinders and the damage you see on the cylinders and the damage you see on the roofs in the two buildings, that they're not compatible. And the OPCW has been unable to present any evidence which shows that they are compatible. But they've fudged that, and they continue to fudge it, probably because they can't show it, because the damage on the cylinders is not compatible with the ceiling. So that's something which you can see persisting through, and it's obvious from the visual imagery you can see in the review, for example, that the damage is not compatible. The second major issue is the suppression of the original toxicology report, which concluded with input from expert toxicologists that the deceased in Douma were not killed by chlorine gas, as was alleged, that something else had happened. And they continue to fudge on that issue as well, quite obviously in the IIT report, where they don't resolve any of the problems that those toxicologists originally raised. In fact, their account is essentially censored or buried come the IIT report. So you've got an alleged incident where cylinders aren't compatible with the damage on the roofs, and you have the 43 dead people who were not killed by chlorine gas, and so on. And these are the major, I think, sort of scientific issues which need to get engaged with, because obviously they point to something else having happened in this case.
You have a long history, of course. You're co-director for the Organization for Propaganda Studies. And I said I was going to get you out of here on the last question, but I'll get you out of here on this. Perhaps maybe no one knows more about propaganda in the world maybe than you, and can help us understand this. So I think it's important, right? This happens. This incident happens. The West creates this sort of cover story, uses it as cover to go in and basically attack and destroy Syria and cover up the actual toxicology, cover up actually what happened, perhaps placed these cylinders there to look like a chemical attack. It's now been widely debunked. But the lie has already spread around the world. And that's really how propaganda flourishes, does it not? Can you explain how now this lie is out there? The White House openly talks about it. that Assad gasses his own people. And it's very hard then to put this, the facts, you know, or this sort of propaganda genie back in the bottle, I guess. Can you explain that process and why propaganda then is so effective?
Well, this process works because when you look at Syria as a whole, as you mentioned, Kavork's work and so on, and the whole conflict in Syria has been accompanied by a major propaganda operation with significant resources being put into maintaining a narrative, maintaining a particular truth. And one of those truths or narratives which has been pushed, and I think the evidence is clear, my work continues on this, you know, in even in Ghouta 2013, you have a propaganda deception narrative built around allegations of chemical weapons used by the Syrian government. And these aren't true. But this is a narrative which huge resources have been placed into maintaining. And one of the reasons it's effective is because they do put a huge amount of money and personnel and organization. And you can see it very clearly with the Douma issue. You can see that when finally cracks appear and people, even people within the organization, start to speak out saying, look, this is, we're being dragged along into the contrails of a Western propaganda operation. You see the scale of reaction against those people, the attacks against me, like myself and other colleagues and so on, who've raised questions about this. It's all part of the propaganda, and it's effective because they've got a lot of firepower. And as you say, international organizations, and this is why it's such a big issue with the OPCW, these organizations becoming caught up in this kind of propaganda. People believe these organizations. They think that they're independent and reliable, when in this case, for sure, they have become part of essentially Western foreign policy. And that, as you say, is effective. In the alternative, legacy media, people are much better informed and there's much more space and people have seen a lot of the evidence, etc. But the legacy corporate media play along, and that makes the propaganda effective from the point of view of governments. So, I mean, in a way, that's I think the issue there. People, in a sense, think of Syria and they're possibly not aware of the scale of the conflict in terms of Western involvement, Operation Timber Sycamore and so on, and the scale of the proper of the energy and effort put into maintaining the narrative. But with as with all narratives in wartime, they're vulnerable to the truth. And I think with Douma and as with many other aspects of the conflict in Syria, as time goes on, and as we see what we're seeing it happening in Ukraine, the truth does slowly come out. It's a painful, difficult process, and people suffer in the process, as have the inspectors who have effectively blown the whistle in the case of Douma and many other people who have raised questions. It is a painful process, but the truth does come out. And I think, you know, certainly with our review, anyone taking an objective look at it will see very clearly that things have gone very badly wrong with the OPCW's investigation of Douma.
Well, yeah, this narrative is starting to crumble, and with help, with, you know, in no small part to the work that you have done. So thank you for the incredible work that you've done, and the Berlin 21 group as well. We're going to have that report linked up in our show description. I encourage our audience to go and read it and share it all over social media and get this message out about this. You know, I had a friend, a former FBI agent, tell me that when they wanted to get propaganda out into the media, they would go to the legacy media. They would go to the New York Times to leak these stories. They would go to the Washington Post to leak these stories. Those were the first steps in trying to get out propaganda. So when you read legacy media reports about this stuff, always remember where this stuff comes from. Very, very important. So thank you for sharing it here with independent media on Redacted. And we are doing our best to get this story out for you and to make sure that the world is aware of this. Dr. Piers Robinson, thank you for your amazing work and thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you, Clayton.
And if you just think about, thanks to the doctor, the Obama administration, like pushing this narrative and then launching deadly airstrikes that killed thousands of civilians.
Yes, and right? Continue to do so.
And continue to do so. Like, if you're not bothered by this, then your head is not screwed on right.
Yeah.
Like, the United States of America gets up at the freaking podium inside the White House press briefing and tells you this lie about what happened there, and then uses it at cover to go in and destabilize and take over a country and kill civilians. I mean, we should all be outraged
and
about
waste
this.
An economy, which we did a story a couple months ago, which by some university estimates, has killed between 3 and 4 million children and left them wasting and starving like a banana that's too long in the fruit tray, and we allow it. And we just sort of sit there like, yes, sanctions on Syria, that's appropriate, even still.
Yeah.
So, yes, these things have a reverberation that are continuing to have a deleterious effect on families.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, like this type of story, you know, it might not have the bells and whistles and the flashiness of other news stories that you might see on CNN in a 3-minute segment, you know, and to get into like the nuance of a report from Dr. Piers Robinson is incredibly important. And no one is going to cover this story, just a few independent journalists. And it's so important that we get out the propaganda that is used to lead us into these proxy wars, whether it's Ukraine, whether it's Syria. You're watching it unfold right now in Niger, by the way. Like, you're going to see it from the White House podium today, tomorrow, over the next few days, about the terrorists in Niger and how we need to send weapons and troops into Niger to take over, you know, again, the lies and the propaganda. Well,
and which coups are good coups and which coups are bad coups? Like, this is not like the Maidan coup.
Yeah.
This is a bad coup.
This is a different one.
Right?
Yeah.
Different thing altogether. Is it maybe because the color of their skin or because financial interests? This is a story that, yeah, happening right before our very eyes.
Yeah, and we've been covering...
We decide how we feel about it based on where's our personal interest.
We've been covering the Syria story for years on this show. This is not new, but this major event today, this review coming out today is new, and it could open the doors for a massive investigation, which we're very excited about. David, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, that's one of the most frustrating things for me is, like, having conversations with people is most people aren't willing to go back in order to move forward. It's like they want to know, like, what's the news that's happening right now? I don't care about all this that's happened, but we can never go forward the right way unless we go back and know what actually happened so that we can see the things that they're doing now that are the same as back then.
Yeah. Context. It's important. Well, that's the beauty of, like, you know, learning your history, because you are doomed to repeat it if you don't understand it. And so it is incumbent upon reporters who are in the White House press briefing room when Corinne Jean-Pierre gets up there and starts spinning lies about Niger or other countries, these reporters can say, wait a second, the White House, the Obama administration, which your president right now is a part of as vice president, lied to us about what happened in Syria. We now have the news. We now have the data on this. Are you lying to us right now? In which she'll scoff and say, I can't believe you'd ask that question.
Right.
I can't believe you'd be so callous as to ask a real question in a press briefing room. Anyway.
I was reading an Oscar Wilde poetry book this weekend for a summer reading competition that I just have to win. And this quote stuck with me. The fact is that people have an insatiable curiosity to know everything except what is worth knowing. So, you know, we're super interested about Kim Kardashian and all of that stuff. But like what we actually have to study... uninterested in. Not us, of course. I mean, look at our chat. Look at our comments. We have really engaged and educated audience, and we really appreciate where you guys point us in what direction. This is a community where we share information. I am not interested in what Kim Kardashian eats for breakfast. No. I am interested in rewinding the tape on these war propaganda lies that lead to other people's deaths.
Well, we've got more news to get to here on your Monday. We've been busy, and we brought you some really interesting stories, particularly on the FDA fast-tracking this new postpartum depression drug, which, unbelievable how the FDA is in bed with big pharmaceutical companies. In fact, today in Europe, I had a conversation with a doctor that said, I don't know what the United States is doing, but the cozy relationship between big pharma and government regulators is unbelievable. And she was explaining just the difference, you know, between the United States and different countries and the collusion between big pharma. Anyway, we'll get to that story. Plus, Patrick Lancaster on the front lines with these kamikaze drone attacks that Russia has now just unleashed on the front lines of Ukrainian troops. We'll get there in mere moments. But first, if you are an investor looking for an easier way to trade stocks, we want to tell you about our friends over at Moomoo. And right now, until the end of August, you can get an additional bonus gift card when you sign up in Canada, specifically because it just rolled out in Canada. So you want to check them out if you're new in Canada. redacted.inc/Moomoo is the URL that you need to go to. But for all the rest of you, it doesn't really matter where you are. You can still sign up and get up to 16 free stocks, including a Google or Tesla stock. That's right. When you open your account and make your initial deposit for a limited time, our favorite trading platform is giving you these stocks and for free, just for opening the account. Now, what's great is Moomoo doesn't charge you for all of these additional like alerts and bells and whistles that other trading platforms charge you for. Level two alerts, level two information, earnings calendar information, all of it is right there and available to you for free. So all you need to do to open your account today is go to redacted.inc/Moomoo, get up to 16 free stocks when you open your account, make your initial deposits. And remember, you don't have to do anything else with the stocks. You could open the account, make your deposits, and then never touch it again, but then you've got 16 free stocks. You can sell them. You can just wait a few years, let them go up in value, do whatever you want to do, and then you've got free money just for opening that account. So there you go, redacted.inc/Moomoo. And Oregon in the chat says, I love my new redacted Moomoo. It fits great, and it looks awesome. There you go. You can buy a Moomoo, or you can also try friends over at Moomoo. Totally up to you.
Or you could do both.
Or you could do both.
You could go to Moomoo while wearing a Moomoo.
It's very meta if you got a Moomoo, actual Moomoo, you know?
Yeah. Anyway, my grandma used to get us those for Christmas because we're Hawaiian. That's what you give.
That's what you give?
Yes. So okay.
You give Moomoos, Ellen?
Well, she just liked to give us Moomoos a lot. So yeah, we did that. Someone in the chat said that Natalie still has an adolescent California accent, and I didn't like that comment.
She very much.
What does that mean?
She very much tries to fight against her California. What is it, fray? What is it called?
Oh, that's called vocal fry.
Vocal fry.
I don't have vocal fry.
Like in Californians talk like, so I'm going to go to the mall. Anybody going to join me?
That's and not really vocal fry.
Well, give me a California vocal fry.
Well, like I was going to fill my water bottle, but the tank was empty, so I didn't actually get to. Oh, there's no period at the end of a sentence.
I think you were doing Valley Girl.
Oh, I was doing Valley Girl?
Yeah.
What's the difference?
That's what it sounded like, yeah.
So I went through very expensive voice coaching that CBS put me through when I worked there. So I don't have vocal fry anymore. You can say that to my face. Okay.
Awful.
Watch while I present this story to you, and I will declaratively end my sentences with a period.
There you go. No vocal
like
fry.
That. Here we go. All right. Well, the FDA approved the first pill for postpartum depression. That's what we call a depressive episode that happens after a woman gives birth. This, I'm going to say, was not properly tested, and it is said to cause suicidal behaviors and thoughts. So that is how we treat postpartum depression, with something that causes suicidal thoughts and behaviors. Oh, also, you can black out. I'm going to get to that in a second.
Side effects may include, here's your pill for postpartum depression. Are you depressed? Side effects may improve intestinal bleeding and suicide.
You might have suicidal thoughts or behaviors, and you may black out. And you have a newborn baby at the same time. So, okay. Now, I don't want to call postpartum depression a mental illness, even though the pharmaceutical industry does in fact have a vested interest in calling this a mental illness. This is a pretty normal reaction to having a baby. You've had hormones for two. Now you only have one. Those hormones are still in there. They wreak havoc on your body. It is a shock to the system. A lot of women go through blues around it. Very normal. It is not a mental illness. It's not an illness on the brain. It is a normal mental discomfort. Now we're telling women it's not normal. They need a drug, or they may not be safe to take care of their baby. This is what's called pharmacocracy at work. We are pharmacocrazing something that's normal in order to sell pharmaceuticals to you. And I'm going to show you just how sloppy this FDA approval is, and you decide for yourself if we can trust them based on this kind of research and propaganda. So the drug is called Zuranolone. I'm not exactly sure. I'm saying this kind of like Italian, like it's a calzone, but maybe that's not how you say it. We'll just go with Zurzuvae. It was given fast-track approval after only two studies that were not clinical trials. The first clinical trials were canceled during the pandemic. So a few questions here that I just sort of jotted down, and let's go through this together. Why was this given a fast-track approval? What is the urgent unmet need that needs to fast-track this? Why were the trials manipulated? What is the possible hazard to new mothers? And why is the media failing to ask these questions and basically presenting this to us as a commercial? We have learned as these, you know, to ask these questions after we got such shoddy information from the FDA during the pandemic and the opioid crisis. So now we've learned they do shady things. We have to ask tougher questions. The mainstream media is not doing this. So let's start with that media question. This weekend, CBS ran a piece about this drug, and they literally let the person who is paid by the drug maker be their expert in this piece. Watch for yourself.
This is not the baby blues. That's not the transient, normal fluctuation of hormones that can affect our mood after delivery and then go away on its own.
Dr. Christina Deligenitis led the study. In the past, she has worked as a paid consultant for drug makers Sage Therapeutics and Biogen, which developed zuranolone.
Women were reporting rapid improvement in their depression as early as day three.
Patients continued to report improvement as they took the daily pill for 2 weeks and even about a month after they stopped. Zuranolone is the first drug specifically for postpartum depression that can be taken at home.
Does this new medication have side effects?
Feeling sleepy, sedation, and headache.
That's a lie. It has more serious side effects than this. Take a look at the side effects listed on the FDA's own press release, I'm going to say, about it. Take a look. It says, so yes, drowsiness, she said, dizziness, diarrhea, fatigue, and the common cold. Also, urinary tract infection. Also, use of this drug may cause suicidal thoughts and behavior, may cause fetal harm. So if you get pregnant again, it can hurt the new baby. So you have to take a birth control pill while taking this at least for 1 week after as well. Now, again, here it goes into this priority review and fast track application, which we're going to talk about in a second. Now, this piece goes on CBS to talk about how there was a mother who suffered from PPD and she felt terrible after giving birth. But the FDA did warn about suicidal thoughts. CBS does not even mention it in the piece, suicidal behaviors. They don't ask. They don't push. They let the doctor who worked for the drug maker be the expert. And then when asked about side effects, omit serious ones. Did the journalist not read it? Did the journalist just skip it? Or they just allowed the paid doctor to have an unobstructed commercial? Now, about that fast track designation, why is that necessary when already there's a shot that you can take if you have PPD, which has a similar effect? So what they're excited about now is that it's just a pill. This is not an unmet need on the market. There already is a pharmaceutical. It's just you can't take it at home. You need to go in for the injection. Now, does a fast track mean that they can skip clinical trials? Well, for this drug, they already did. The FDA had said that they approved this through studies and not clinical trials. Those are not the same thing. Here's from an industry magazine that said that Sage Therapeutics, which is the company that makes this new pill, terminated their two long suspended phase 3 zuranolone clinical trials after talks with the FDA led it to believe that it can seek approval without those studies. So they had just a talk with the FDA saying, can we do it differently? Like, we don't need these long-term clinical trials. We can do it our own way. Now, we know. We already know that they did this for oxycodone, and that caused the opioid crisis.
This is exactly what RFK Jr. has been talking about. You know, you can disagree with him on any number of, you know, range of issues. That's fine. But he's absolutely spot on about the safety and efficacy of these vaccines or these medications that they're rolling out without FDA approval, without stringent trials, without testing it for a long period of time.
Yes.
I mean, this was, of course, one of the big complaints, and a lot of people were saying when they were pushing out the COVID vaccine in such a fast track, you know, motion. Even Joe Biden himself, when asked whether or not he would take President Trump's vaccine, he said, well, no, normally it takes about 5 years before them to, you know, have the trials, go through the testing and approval process before I would take it. So he was even shitting all over Trump's vaccine even then.
Right. So this is another example of a wag the dog situation where they have the trials that they've begun. They're not super happy with how they're going. So they go and have a conversation with the FDA. And the FDA says, well, if you don't do it as a full trial, but do these studies, which are short term, the only studies we have our 14-day studies on the mom and not the baby, which we're going to talk about in a second. So about go ahead, David, please.
Well, I was going to say, and this just shows you, like, it's so obvious. There's one thing that Lisa, the pharmaceutical industry is talking to the FDA, and they're like, well, you know, we could do those trials. We could. But, you know, that's going to cut into our profits. So, you know, technically we can't do that because we have board members and everything. So we're going to have to fast track this. We can't wait for the profits.
Yeah. Why they did it, it's not really clear. And Sage Pharmaceuticals had a investor meeting recently and was kind of pushed on it before they got this FDA approval. And they're like, well, we don't want to say too much because we don't want to rattle the cage. We're really hoping for this FDA approval. So let's just, you know, play it close to the vest, which is exactly what they did. So why were they allowed to have these meetings with the FDA in order to doctor, pun intended, the results of their studies and then push that forward for full FDA approval? Now, about those shorter studies, those two were manipulated. Here is, again, from this industry publication saying that they tweaked their endpoint for this. So they may have had one goal in the beginning. Maybe it was some kind of marker of, I don't know, dopamine or serotonin. But instead they decided, well, we're going to change how we call this a success. So instead of whatever they had originally planned for these studies, they said, let's just see who self-reports fewer depressive symptoms. So are like
self-reports.
That's literally it. That this is how they're saying that they think it's effective. So they may ask me on day one of the trial, what depressive symptoms do I have? I'm sleepy. I'm angry.
Sleepy is not depressive.
No, that is a symptom that they call extreme fatigue.
Extreme fatigue.
You know, I feel angry. I feel mad at the baby, that kind of thing. And then 14 days later, they ask, how many of these things do you feel? And if you report even one fewer, that's a success. So it's literally just you self-report this list of symptoms. They don't check any, like, you know, any of your brain chemistry at all.
Right.
They also did not at all check how this might affect a baby. So I'm assuming you just don't nurse if you're taking this, because there was no data on whether or not it would hurt the baby. So I'm going to feel comfortable with saying they didn't test that. Don't go get this if you are nursing. Now, again, they talk about suicidal behaviors. In new moms with small babies, is that a good trade-off? Like, maybe you feel less PPD, but then now you feel like harming yourself and behaving in that way. Also, this was not mentioned in the news report, and it also was not mentioned in the FDA's approval release, but it was on the drug's white label, which I looked through. You can have excessive sedation and sudden loss of consciousness. Again, you got a new baby and you may pass out. It says most people just kind of came back to time to full recovery, you know, was like 15 to 60 minutes. You can't have that if you have a new baby. So I guess if you're going to take this, you better make sure you got a babysitter because you may pass out. It sounds like
you'd be safer drinking a glass of wine or two.
Right.
I mean, yeah.
Fewer side effects. I mean, right? It seems like fewer side effects. Like, if I have a glass of wine, I don't have suicidal tendencies. Like, I'm like, oh, that's kind of a happy, fun night for me. Like,
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to say that. If I drink, I start fights. So I'm definitely not going to say that that's better. That's why I don't drink.
Yeah. Tequila. What is tequila? It's like beer.
Okay. Again, I just want to say, speaking of those babies, screw them, because they weren't tested at all in any of these studies. So presumably you should not nurse while taking these drugs because there's no studies to show that it's safe. Now, am I saying to you that this is not a good drug or not, you know, necessary? I'm not necessarily saying that. What I'm asking here, and I would like to collectively ask this together, the media is saying it's good. They didn't ask any of these questions. I'm just wondering, on what basis do they feel comfortable saying that this is a great breakthrough? I am saying these three things. Number one, we continue to medicalize normal behavior and tell people that it's a mental health disease. It's not. That it's not a disease. It's discomfort. Pretty normal. when you have a baby, most of PPD is normal and resolves itself. And so by framing this as a mental health disorder or disease, there is pharmaceutical profit in that, right? And so we're telling women, you can't cope with this. You're not strong enough. You definitely don't have any of the normal resources that women use to cope with this, such as my favorite book, The Red Tent, about, you know, like you don't have a community to support you. You don't have natural medicine. You don't have all of these things. No, you need a drug. Number two, another thing that I'm saying, the FDA has continued to lower its standards again and again to pass a drug that may or may not have passed if given full clinical trials and full approval process under the normal timeline. We saw that with the two RSV injectables that were just put on the market within the last couple of weeks. Why is Fast Track the new full approval? Why? And number three, I just want to point out that the media has failed to point any of this out, further proving their inherent bias towards the biopharmaceutical industry. Those two things do not garner trust in the media or big pharma. And so that's what I'm saying. So if you are someone who is looking into this drug, here are the places I am going to suggest that you look for yourself, and definitely not the media that's just giving commercials to Sage Pharmaceuticals.
Great point. Let us know your thoughts on that in the chat below. Well,
and can I just say, like, the bigger problem is also Pfizer and these companies support the media, and as much as they give, if Pfizer pulled out their advertising dollars out of a news station, right, that could be the funding of one whole show. Like, it could be like, well, Greta's gone from Fox, or this person's gone from this because we just lost this much money. So they have to take that money because it could completely change the channel, the news.
Sure. But like, yeah, you know, we're doing all right. We're here. You're here. We don't have any biopharmaceuticals that are asking us to promote them. And so I feel absolutely comfortable looking into this with no questions that I cannot ask. And so, you know, it can be done. Big networks, you can do it. Mm-hmm. You're refusing to, and people will get hurt. Like, what if you knew that someone, like that reporter who had the nice blowout in the green dress that we showed you, what if she knew that someone saw that and then said, oh yeah, I'm gonna go ask my doctor for this, got it, and then passed out and dropped the baby or harmed themselves, right? And you never warned them? That's not your job. You're not doing a good job then.
We've had a series of these reporters that we featured here on the show recently out of WGN in Chicago. This lady you're talking about, what's the woman from CNBC or NBC News? The doctor who was pushing all of the COVID vaccines.
The one whose husband died at the World Cup.
Yeah.
Her name is
Ren or something.
Have it in a second.
Anyway, these doctors, you know, continue to push these things on in these like health related segments. Health Watch brought to you by Pfizer. Health Watch, whatever, brought to you.
Celine Gounder is her name.
Oh, okay. That's not who I was thinking of, but that's another one.
Okay.
That's another one of
but
these.
But she's
people.
Actually a doctor. But yes.
Yeah. So you have them on these channels. And of course, when they do these segments, we're going to go to Health Watch now with Susan, Dr. Susan, and tell us about this. All those segments are sponsored by these big pharmaceutical companies, and they're all in the tank for these big pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah.
Whether or not they're getting kickbacks for them or not, I mean, hopefully we find out more about this from Dr. Fauci in his testimony, and if he gets dragged before a criminal prosecution, we'd love to know how much money they were getting on the side from these biopharmaceutical companies.
Yeah, I mean, just once, yeah, I'd like to see an FDA release, and I go in and I read it, and I say, oh, that sounds like a pretty bad thing. That risk reward benefit is pretty good. They did their homework there. They didn't. They were led by the nose by the pharmaceutical industry here.
Well, I was going to say, and instead of paying your news people like 20, 15, 10 million a year, cut back, pay these people a million. You'll still get good people. And you're not on the dole for like responsible for that kind of money that you are so desperate to take any dollar you can get for advertising.
Yeah.
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 Well, we've got more news to get to here on your Monday. We're going to take you to the front lines with a special report on the use of these kamikaze drones by Russia against Ukrainian forces. This is devastating, and what's left of the Ukrainian forces being hit with these drones. It's pretty stunning. We'll have that frontline report for you in a moment. But first, as many of you know, from time to time, I bring on the founder of Lear Capital on the show to bring value and insight to what's happening in our global economy right now, Kevin DeMeritt. And, you know, recently Kevin was telling me, he said, you know, so many countries that are led by these BRICS nations plan to move out from under the U.S. dollar, create a gold-backed currency, and that it could mean a huge change to the value of your savings in retirement. And one of the things we talk about, and they just actually put together a special report, I strongly recommend you call Lear Capital today or go to LearRedacted.com and get a free copy of what they're calling the Tipping Point Report. It just came out, and it helps explain how to protect your savings in retirement with gold and silver. It's only a matter of time until we're forced to use digital currencies, so you'd need to get educated quickly to preserve your wealth that you already have. Gold. Gold is actually down right now, which is a great time to buy. Natalie and I just doubled down and bought a lot of silver. So silver is at a great price right now, half of its all-time high. For the past few years, Natalie and I have been moving away from the U.S. dollar and into hard assets like gold and silver and real estate. We see the writing on the wall. Absolutely. It's coming. And I just saw an inflationary report today that says, you think we're out of the woods yet? It's about to get worse. This was a fascinating report I read today on inflation. So there's a lot of talk about the CPI number. Oh, the CPI number looked good. No. The underlying fundamentals right now for inflation are damning. You need to protect yourselves. You need to protect yourselves before it's too late. Call Lear Capital today. Request their special report called The Tipping Point. It's a free information report about the dollar, the economy, and what it could mean for your savings and retirement. So make sure you go to the website there on the screen. It's just LearRedacted.com or call their 800 number, 1-800-613-3557. Again, 1-800-613-3557. This report will open your eyes to what's coming in this economy. And I want to thank Kevin for putting this report together for our redacted viewers. Again, that number is 1-800-613-3557 or go online right now to LearRedacted.com.
Hello, Redacted. I'm Patrick Lancaster, and right now we are here on the Russian front line near Ugledar. And we're with Russian forces, and they're going to be showing us the full process how they launch kamikaze drones onto Ukrainian forces' positions. And of course, Ugledar is controlled by Ukraine, and we're not far. I'm not sure exactly how far, but we're going to talk to the commander of the kamikaze drone group and see as much information as possible. Что мы сделать сейчас, где мы и что будет?
Мы сейчас посадки до противника 2,5 километра. Мы сейчас будем разворачивать оборудование и отрабатывать по цели. Вот.
Ага. Сейчас. Вы сказали 2,5, да?
Да, 2,5 до противника.
Это именно на Угледар или как рядом?
Мы стоим сейчас западнее Угледара с вами находимся.
Вот. Ага. Понял.
В районе между Угледаром и Великой Новосилкой.
Ага. И можно сказать, как они работают, что процесс вообще?
Мы снаряжаем дрон боеприпасом, вот, разворачиваем антенну, подключаем, и оно улетает с боеприпасом к противнику.
Ага, как камикадзе, да?
Да, мы ставим его на взвод, срабатывает концевик, и все взрывается.
А, so будет как граната тут, да?
Да, только и, снизу.
И, а, снизу, да?
Да, сверху будет батарея.
And then это как pressure, как тинк,
да.
Бум, да, ага, понял, интересно. И вы будете как FPV, да?
Да, да, в очках.
А, это вот эта камера, да?
Да, вот она камера, она регулируется вот угол поворота.
So, если камикадзе, они как одноразовые, да?
Да, он улетает, соответственно, только в одну сторону.
И откуда у вас получить это, как это, дрон откуда?
Дрон.
Yeah, I mean, вас сами строят или как?
Да, да, мы сами с каскадом изготавливаем наши дроны и подготавливаем.
Ага, понял, как вас специалист, который...
Да, это наше подразделение.
Ага, понял. И вы сказали каскад. Я в принципе, знаю, но за мою аудиторию, которую не знаю, что это каскад? Можете сказать за них, пожалуйста?
Это оперативное боевое тактическое формирование, вот, состоящее из нескольких батальонов, Вот, мы выполняем самые разные задачи.
И вас как отдельная от армии, да?
Да, мы являемся на данный момент единицей МВД ДНР.
Угу. Понял. Ну хорошо, спасибо. И именно это, что вы сделали?
Сейчас мы будем подготавливать дрон, снаряжать его боеприпасом. Вот, и разворачивать нашу антенну.
А, за антенну, да? И как далеко у вас могу работать с это?
В районе 5-7 километров.
Ага.
Откидывайте. Снаряжаем дрон. Вот, это наши FPV-очки, ага, в которых мы летаем. Вот. Прямое оборудование. Вот, и, соответственно, пульт. Также. Сейчас мы все это подключим и будем ожидать цели в ближайшее время.
А, so, цели это как будет информация, где надо...
Да, мы сейчас ждем цели для удара, и в ближайшее время будем отрабатывать.
И вы откуда?
Я из Новосибирска.
Да? И почему вы здесь?
Потому что это моя родина.
Да?
Часть uh-huh. моей большой родины.
Ты вы как мобилизация или контракт?
Нет, я доброволец.
Да? А, ты вы сам
да,
ехал?
Да, я ехал сюда сам.
Ага. И на твои друзья или коллеги Каскад, сколько они из Каскад, местные Донецк или от...
Это в основном люди из Донецка, Шахтерска и других городов, которые здесь рядом, вот. Uh-huh. Макеевка. В основном местные.
А, so, вы просто хотел Каскад, да?
Да,
so,
да.
Немного...
Я очень наслышан об этом подразделении, поэтому я в него хотел, конечно.
Ага. И есть несколько коллеги, которые от Большой России?
С Большой России не очень много людей, буквально по пальцам можно пересчитать.
Ага, понял. So, это цели, это как именно где надо стрелять или как?
Это может быть техника, может быть пехота противника.
Ага, вот. So, будет информация,
да,
и
да,
у вас реакция будет.
Да. Ага. Ориентировочно будет техника, поэтому мы уже подготовили именно кумулятивный боеприпас. Вот ожидается, что будет ротация противника в этом районе в это время. Мы отрабатываем, сворачиваемся и максимально быстро уходим, чтобы нас не успели засечь.
А, so это, думал, будет опасно здесь, когда улетает?
Есть вероятность, что заметят взлет, вот, либо могут зафиксировать радиоэлектронным оборудованием активное строение. Вообще, это очень маловероятно, но после каждой работы стоит менять позицию для безопасности личного состава.
Ага, понял. So это как антенна, да?
Да, это антенна, через которую будет осуществляться связь управления и видеоканала. Вот. У нас и дрона.
Ага. И что это? Мы слышал... Это как автомат, да?
Еще раз?
И что это мы слышал? Стреляет.
А, это стрелковый бой, вероятно, идет на соседних участках.
Ага.
Вот. Явление довольно частое, потому что посадка, местность плотная. Вот. Здесь каких-то таких огромных заметных сражений нет, все время стрелкотня в течение дня она и бывает.
Ага.
Мы сейчас будем выносить антенну вот для отработки как раз туда, на тот участок, на открытый, чтобы радиофон не забивал листва, вот, ветки, вот, чтобы сигнал был четче и лучше.
Ага, понял. И когда момент начально опасный, в принципе?
Как только мы все подключаем, начинаем вылет. Соответственно, начинает работать радиоэлектронное оборудование наше.
Ага.
Вот, антенна, соответственно. И тогда мы начинаем быть заметны для радиоэлектронных устройств, обнаруживающих.
Все. Угу.
Принеси.
So now we're going to see Russian forces launching this kamikaze drone.
Here we go.
А затем начинаем вставлять электродетонатор в снаряд, чтобы при попадании он сработает и взорвется.
Только что поступила команда, что в районе 4 километров от нас есть цель бронетехника. Вот, легкий бронированный автомобиль. Будем по нему отрабатывать.
Ага. И это вы будете снимать, это тоже будет видео, да?
Да, конечно.
Вы можете дать мне?
Да, конечно.
Ага, все, спасибо. So, сейчас, как я понимаю, сейчас это момент, когда будет опасно, да?
Да, мы сейчас отрабатываем и быстро уходим.
Ага, понял. Хорошо.
Дрон готов?
Готов.
Захожу на цель. Пикирую. Есть. Сворачиваемся.
Можете сказать, что только произошло?
Мы только что поразили технику противника. Вот, наблюдатели на Мавике подтверждают, что цель поражена. Сейчас мы максимально быстро собираемся, меняем позицию.
Угу. Все, спасибо.
All right, redacted. This has been a special update. Hope you got something out of it. We here try to give you guys a choice to see things on that the Western mainstream media is trying to hide from you. I won't show you. This is just one of those examples. You're not going to see this in the Western mainstream media.
Unbelievable frontline reporting from Patrick Lancaster there. Thank you so much, Patrick, for doing that. And thank you for supporting independent journalism for us to be able to bring you these stories. You know, this is not going to be seen on CNN. I've watched people in the chat saying, I don't see this on MSNBC. I don't see this on Fox. I don't see this on CNN. No, it's because you're not going to. They're going to be in Kiev, basically. Hanging around the Zelensky government and getting the little scraps of propaganda that are pushed out and what they want you to see. So thank you so much for supporting independent journalists that we're able to bring on here on this show and to elevate their voices and their reporting. So if you'd like to support our channel, you can. And for the price of a cup of coffee once a month, you can do that if you want to. It's totally free to be a subscriber or a follower of the show, but if you want to take it to the next level, you can become a member of our Redacted Rebellion, which again, for the price of a cup of coffee once a month, you can support us just by going to redacted.inc. And there you'll click on the community button there. And again, you can sign up and join our locals community. And in the fall, we're going to be launching a whole bunch of really great stuff, including our new book club, as well as access to our live videos and interviews before anyone else gets to see them. You get to see that content for our members only community, our rebellion. So if you'd like to sign up and become a rebel, you can. Again, very, very cheap to do that. But thank you guys so much. And thanks to all of you for subscribing and being a part of our great show here every night. We really appreciate it. At 4 p.m. Eastern time is when we are live. And we will be back here tomorrow night at 4 p.m. Eastern time. We'll see you then. Bye, everyone.